From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. Officials in Alaska say a large cargo-style plane has crashed in the Denali National Park. The plane burst into flames Sunday, and park spokesperson Chris Pfister says that sparked a forest fire.
It's contained, so it's not spreading any more. It's about an acre. We have 8 smoke jumpers and several other of the Park Service's wildland firefighters on scene.
Military officials say the plane is not theirs. No company has called in a missing plane so far. Pakistanis are railing against the government as the death toll in that country surpasses 1,000. Some say it could go higher than 1,100. Thousands of soldiers and civilian rescue workers have been deployed to the hardest-hit areas in northwestern Pakistan to try and save people trapped by the floodwaters. Others are distributing food. The scale of the disaster is so overwhelming that for many Pakistanis, it appears the government is ignoring them. Russia doesn't have enough water. Record-high temperatures and a drought have combined to trigger wildfires, killing at least 28 people. Jessica Gallagher reports from Moscow the fires are now approaching Russia's foremost nuclear research center.
Russia's experiencing the hottest weather in at least 130 years, with temperatures hovering near the century mark. According to emergency ministry officials, nearly 800 fires are burning out of control in an area of about 500 square miles. Officials say firefighters are having problems containing the blazes due to the high temperatures and shifting winds. State television footage showed entire villages burned to the ground and thick black smoke billowing into the sky. Russian news agencies also say that the country's Federal Nuclear Center, where researchers designed the first Soviet atomic and hydrogen bombs, is also in danger of being engulfed in flames. Meanwhile, Russian President Dmitry Medvedev has called the fires a natural disaster, and Patriarch Kirill has asked people to pray for rain. For NPR News, I'm Jessica Gallagher in Moscow.
The stock market has been bucking reports indicating an economic slowdown. The Dow wrapped up the week 7% higher, the best month since last July, according to Danielle Carson.
Dow Chemical comes out with its second quarter statement on Tuesday, followed by earnings numbers from Toyota, Disney, Kraft Foods, and insurance giant AIG later in the week. The auto industry rolls out its monthly sales report on Tuesday. Analysts predict it will post a slight increase, just above 11 million cars. Congress is expected to take up energy legislation before it adjourns next week. Environmental advocates are hoping the images of gushing oil in the Gulf could tip the scales and convince lawmakers to pass it. But analysts say, despite the outrage over the spill, there's little appetite to cap greenhouse gas emissions. And finally, on Friday, the government releases the July employment report. The biggest sore spot about the pace of the economic recovery is the jobless rate. It's expected to hold steady at 9.5%. For NPR News, I'm Danielle Carson.
Asian stocks are higher today. This is NPR News. UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, has named 11 former convict sites in Australia to the World Heritage List. Stuart Cohen in Sydney reports the sites join better-known Australian landmarks such as the Great Barrier Reef and the Sydney Opera House.
Australians have had an uneasy relationship with their convict past. In the 1700s and 1800s, Britain shipped more than 160,000 convicts to the far-off penal colony that was to become Australia. For generations afterward, the convict stain, as it was called, served as a source of embarrassment. But now it's a source of pride, as UNESCO has recognized the cultural significance of places like the Hyde Park Barracks in Sydney, which was designed by a convict and built with forced labor, and the Fremantle Prison in Western Australia, where 40 prisoners were executed. And even Norfolk Island, where the brutality of the prison keepers was legendary and only the most incorrigible were sent, is the ultimate punishment. Many of the sites are already popular destinations for tourists. Australia's culture minister hopes the designation will bring more. For NPR News, I'm Stuart Cohen in Sydney.
Crews in Southern California are still battling a wildfire north of Los Angeles, but say it's now nearly 90% contained. The fires burned 22 square miles of brush in the high desert. Crews were aided by higher humidity and lower temperatures on Sunday. BP's chief operating officer says he's ready to eat fish from the Gulf of Mexico anytime, and that goes the same for his family members. Doug Suttles escorted reporters on a boat tour of beaches and marshes on Sunday, south of Venice, Louisiana. Some coastal areas off Louisiana were reopened to commercial fishing a few days ago. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News in Washington.